The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should consider obtaining independent advice before making any financial decisions.
Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garen Perro columnist for Stockhead. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers podcast. Today we're catching up with Tony Rivera. Tony is the well-known managing director of Azure Minerals, which trades under the code AZS or Alpha Zulu Sierra. Azure has gold, silver and base metals interests in the minerals-rich northwest of Mexico as its focus. And that's been the case for about 15 years. And it's worked out some nice JORC resource bases there at its Alcaran and its Opusura projects. Sadly though, COVID-19 restrictions have made it difficult to advance the projects. That's prompted Tony to shift focus for the time being from down Mexico way to exploring beneath the big blue skies of WA. To that end, the market likes a deal Tony struck recently with legendary prospector Mark Creasy over gold and nickel projects in the Pilbara. That's been reflected in Azure's share price doubling in the last month to 18 cents today. Tony too is recognised as a dab hand at exploration. He shared the 2000 Prospector of the Year award with the late Terry Grammer for the discovery of the Cosmos Nickel deposit for Jubilee Mines, which was later consumed by Xstrata for all of $3 billion. We've got lots to talk about. So with that, I'm going to welcome Tony to the podcast and say g'day, Tony, and thanks for your time today.
Yeah, thanks, Barry. It's great to be here.
Okay, Tony, let's start out with you perhaps giving us a bit of a rundown on your education and professional background, just so listeners can be brought up to speed with who you are.
Yeah, certainly. I'm a geologist by training. I was trained at Flinders University in South Australia and graduated in 1983 and immediately came over to Western Australia and was exploring for gold in the Yilgarn for BHP. And over the years since then, I've been working not only BHP, Sons of Gwalia, Pegasus Gold, the North American company, and I've been exploring here in Western Australia and elsewhere in Australia up until about 2006. At that point, we moved overseas to Mexico. But just going back a little bit for that, I joined Jubilee Mines in 1997 and with Kerry Hermanis and Terry Grammer. And within 6 months, we discovered the Cosmos nickel deposit, which ended up being the highest grade nickel open pit nickel mine in the world. Fantastic discovery and a fantastic time to be part of the drill out of the resources, converting them to reserves, building the mine and actually being into production. Mm-hmm. And I spent 7 years with Jubilee and took it from a company that had a market cap of under 20 million to, as you said, Xstrata took them out in 2007 for just over $3 billion. Mm-hmm. So that was a huge ride. But I wasn't there for that whole ride. I left at the end of 2003 and set up a new company called Nickel Australia and looking to replicate the success that I'd had with Jubilee. Unfortunately, couldn't repeat that success there. So we started looking at other opportunities. And in 2006, we identified Mexico as being a great place for mining and exploration and moved our focus from Western Australia into Mexico.
Yeah.
So it's a busy time, sort of, I guess, probably 15 years or so working in Western Australia or elsewhere in Australia. And then in the last 15 years, it's been in Mexico.
Yeah, some great names you've been mentioned there on the way through. Now, I mentioned earlier the need because of COVID to pivot from Mexico to WA for the time being. It might be best if we first cover off on the status of the projects in Mexico, with an obvious question being, are they still considered core to Azure moving forward?
Yes. Well, we have two major projects in Mexico. One is called Alacran, which is a silver and gold project. And the other one is called Opusura, which is a zinc, lead and silver project. Just briefly talking about the Alacran project, we acquired that from Teck Resources in the beginning of 2015. It's in an area where there's a lot of operating copper mines, and it was regarded at that time as a copper exploration project. But within a few months of starting our exploration, our geological team there discovered an entire hill of high-grade silver mineralization sticking out of the ground. And no one had ever identified this silver mineralization before. There was no old mine workings or even any exploration on it at all. So we moved immediately from being a copper explorer on the Alacrán project to being a explorer and discoverer of a silver deposit. And it's a great silver deposit. The remarkable thing is that there's a road that runs over the top of that hill. That road's probably been there for over 100 years. And no one had ever got out of their car or the horse and buggy and cracked the rocks. And yet our geologists did that and identified the silver. And over the last few years, we've been able to expand that out. So it's a resource of about 32 million ounces of silver and about 150,000 ounces of gold. It's a great project, and it will be a mine one day. And it's something that we were actively progressing up until, the last few months when COVID came along. And the other project is called Opazura. And Opazura is a very high-grade, massive sulfide body of zinc, lead and silver mineralization that it too sticks out of the ground. And we acquired that in 2017, and we drilled out some resources, and we completed a pre-feasibility study on that project in 2019, I recall. And we actually started mining, doing some small-scale mining and processing on the project over the period of 2019. So it's a project which is basically a mine ready for development. And once again, you know, it's the current situation that is preventing us from doing any further work on that project at this stage.
Right. Okay. I guess silver price pushing back $320 an ounce isn't going to hurt in the long
run. No, that's a very positive sign for both of those projects, particularly the Alacrán project. Both those projects are very much core projects. They're very important to the company. Yes, we have picked up some projects here in Western Australia, which I can talk about in a moment. But our position in Mexico is that we want to be there. We want to continue to develop the projects, advance them through the feasibility study stage, and take them through to production when the time is right. Unfortunately, the time is not right at the moment because with the coronavirus, Mexico is suffering almost as much as its neighbour, the United States.
I thought you were going to play Victoria then.
No, a lot worse than Victoria. The government initially said they didn't believe it was going to be a serious issue, but then they changed their mind soon a bit after that. And in April and May, they shut down the mining industry. In fact, they shut down all non-essential industries in the country for two months. And so all mines closed down, all exploration ceased. All the car factories closed, the breweries closed, they weren't making beer anymore. So the country was basically completely shut down. The government realised that this wasn't feasible longer term, so they reopened the economy, reopened those industries. But the problem is now that COVID-19 is spreading rapidly throughout the country. And that includes some of the mining operations. And some of the mining operations that have reopened have had to close down again because of outbreaks and clusters within their mining workforce. And others are only operating on a very skeleton staff. So what we've decided to do after a couple of months of our geological team working from home, during which time they really did work on the improving our knowledge of all the background information that we'd gathered but probably not given a enough due diligence to. And they identified quite a few new targets on the Alacrán project, and they've gone back onto the ground now, and they are working, doing low-key, low-cost surface exploration to both identify and to further progress those targets that they've worked up. But what it also means is that for the time being, we probably can't do any drilling because we don't want to be out our teams to be mixing with other work groups. Simply, the situation is not safe enough at this time.
Okay. Best wishes to all our friends in Mexico dealing with that. So we've confirmed that their core projects going forward, which is a good pivot point to jump into the recent deal with Mark Creasy. Lots of excitement is seen in the share price performance of Azure in recent weeks. Apart from anything else, the deal has lifted the lid on some interesting discovery work by the Creasy Group, not seen until now because of its private status. Could you run us through the deal and the key projects that it has brought into the fold?
Certainly. Firstly, I'll just say that when I last returned back from Mexico, which was in early March, and you could see from here that things were not looking so good in Mexico, and then they closed the mining industry down, it was something that we recognised, or I recognised, that we needed an alternative strategy while Mexico was going through these troubles. So the best place to operate would have been is back in Australia, and within Australia, the best place to operate is in Western Australia, because with the hard borders, etc., we've got here, the best, really the only place that you can travel to and continue to work freely is here in Western Australia. So I was at the beginning of April, I was thinking to myself, how could we look to acquire some projects, particularly on nickel and gold projects here in Western Australia? And so I recognised one of the best, biggest landholders or project holders in Western Australia is Mark Creasy. And Mark and I have go back a long, long way together, back to the Jubilee days. And I contacted Mark and pitched an idea to him that if he had some projects that were not core to him, but he might consider vending into Azure Minerals. And at that time, we didn't have a lot of money in the bank, so it would be about convincing him to take a serious position in the company. Now, he's already a small shareholder. So it's taken three and a half months for this deal to close. And I have to give great credit to Mark and his team. Have been absolutely first class to deal with. But we closed the deal a couple of weeks ago, and then we announced it last week. And what we've acquired from Mark is, and his group, the Creasy Group, is one nickel project and three gold projects. And all four of those projects are located in the Pilbara. The most advanced of them is the Andover Nickel Project, and that's located just south of Roebourne. It covers most of the Andover layered mafic, ultramafic intrusive complex. And it's been recognised for some time, for probably 10 or 20 years, is that there was potential for nickel in here, but it didn't really get a decent bout of exploration done on it until Mark acquired the project back in the early 2000s. And in that time, he's owned the project. He's carried out airborne electromagnetic surveys, which identified many conductive bedrock-hosted conductors within the project area and within that layered mafic, ultramafic intrusive. And then his team carried out some fit ground EM surveys in about 2012. And then there was a significant mapping and sampling program in around 2015-16, all of which zoomed in on a number of very, very favourable looking targets, both geological and geophysical. And Mark's team drilled seven RC holes in 2018 on four different targets. They hit sulphide mineralisation in three of those targets, with significant nickel and copper being drilled in two of those targets. So you've got a sequence of good quality exploration that's taken place over the last 12 or so years, and through Mark Creasy and his team. And they made two discoveries on that property. And those are the two areas that we're really excited about and that we'll be going back and focusing our exploration on. Both of these discoveries are coincident electromagnetic conductors outcropping gossans that contain anomalous nickel and copper mineralisation, and they've got drill holes into them that have hit disseminated through to massive nickel sulphide mineralisation. Fantastic discoveries, and it's a real pleasure to be able to to bring them into the Azure portfolio and to be able to continue their exploration in conjunction in a joint venture with the Creasy Group.
Now, the advanced nature of Andover was reflected in the deal consideration, 40 million shares all up, of which 24 million shares were attributed to the Andover component of the deal. The smallest of the share consideration was 1.6 million shares for the Creasy Group's Turner River Gold Project at, as I said, 1.6 million shares. But in the announcement on the deal, Turner River was given prominence. I was just wondering why that. I think I know the answer, but I'd get you to explain why that was so.
Yeah. So a Turner River is comprises two exploration license applications that Mark Creasy made way back in 2003. They've not been granted yet because there's some infrastructure easements that need to be negotiated between Creasy and the other parties, particularly the state government. And those negotiations are very close to being finalised, and I'm hopeful that those two exploration licences will be granted in the next few months. But those two properties, those two ELs, contain 450 square kilometres of the Pilbara, right next door to the Mallina project, which is owned by De Grey. And obviously De Grey's had some wonderful success on their Mallina project. They've got 2.2 million ounces of gold resources. They've had this fantastic discovery of the Hemi deposit, which looks to be a very large and a high-grade gold deposit in its own right. And the ground that, Turner River ground that we've acquired from Creasy is very close to the De Grey's project. We're within 7 kilometres of their project, and our project contains the same rock types as the host of the gold mineralisation on Mallina. So we've got the Mallina formation sediments, we've got the major structures that run through their deposits, particularly the Hemi deposit, then run over through into our ground. In addition to that, we've got an Archean age greenstone belt called the Loudon Volcanics, which would be suitable host for a structurally controlled gold mineralisation as well. So it has potential for the intrusive related gold, as De Grey has found on their project, and also structurally hosted. Yep. Mm-hmm. So it's a good looking project. The reason it's because it's such a good looking project that it featured prominently in our announcement. But it's not prominent in terms of the consideration for it, simply because it's totally unexplored, hasn't got a single drill hole into it, and it's still an application at the stage. But hopefully that'll be granted soon, and we'll have the rigs out on the ground drilling.
Right, okay. And to complete the package, Menthina, is it, and Coongan Gold Project?
Yes. Yeah, the Coongan Project is located just to the west of Nullagine. And it adjoins some ground that Novo Resources has got called their Beaton's Creek Conglomerate Gold Project, and where they have several hundreds of thousands of ounces of gold resources there, and some small-scale mining has been underway. And the material that they're mining, we believe, runs onto the Coongan property as well. So it's prospective immediately for similar gold mineralisation to what Novo Resources is exploiting on their ground. And the Menthina project is another very interesting one that Mark Creasy has held that since 1994. So, you know, we're talking 25, 26 years that he has held that project through various companies. And he's done a lot of surface exploration on it, and he's identified an area that he believes hosts epithermal style gold and silver mineralization, and he drilled a number of RC holes and a very deep diamond hole there over the past few years, and which returned some very encouraging precious metals results. So still early stage, but still exciting in its own right because of the geology and the style of mineralization that you can see at surface. So we've basically got four projects that we've now acquired in the Pilbara. A very advanced stage nickel sulfide project, which has got walk-up drill targets where we're very confident we'll be able to replicate the high-grade nickel hits that Mark Creasy got, plus three gold projects that are all very exciting in their own right. And we are very excited to be able to undertake exploration on these projects. And I'll be in joint venture with Mark Creasy, who will be our biggest shareholder. So exciting times.
Worth mentioning there. The deal is structured pretty much as all Creasy deals are with ASX companies, 60-30, 70-30, with the share consideration being the main factor. I think he emerges with 19.1% of the company post the...
That's right. Post the deal, shareholder approval in late August, he'll have 19.1% of the project. 19.1% of Azure Minerals, and he'll also retain 30% ownership of Turner River, Coongan, and Menthena gold projects, and he'll retain a 40% ownership of the Andover nickel project.
Yeah,
so he's still very much a major player both in the projects and also in the in our company. But we'll be the managers. Azure will be the managers of the project of the exploration going forward, and we'll carry the Creasy Group will be free carried right through to the decision to mine.
Yep, standard sort of deal that Creasy does, where we've seen IGO and Legend Mining and way back with the Gutnik
Group. Sirius.
And Sirius.
Yep.
Now I'll put the pressure on. The forward program, will you be drilling on any of these properties in the near term?
Yes, well, the first box that we've got to tick is to get the shareholder approval. Which the shareholders' meeting's being held on the 26th of August. Obviously, we're confident that that's going to go ahead because the initial reaction that we've had from shareholders, both old and new, has been very positive. Share price has gone up a long way. Anticipate getting that approval late August, and immediately we'll be on the ground. We have to get our program of work approved by the mines department, and we also make sure we have access agreements in place with the local players in the area. And we'll be drilling there, we hope, in September, but we'll also be doing a lot of more geophysics as well, because the EM surveys that have been carried out in the past have successfully identified massive nickel sulfide mineralization. There's a lot more areas that need to be tested and followed up. So it'll be a dual program of both diamond drilling on the existing targets that we know of now, and also EM surveys to prove up new targets for further drilling later on.
So we
expect to be working hard drilling all the way through September through to Christmas.
Okay, nice strong news flow coming then.
Yes.
Okay, Tony, very interesting story. Mexico alone is interesting, but now you've added this second leg, so... I'm pretty sure your shareholder base must be pretty happy at the moment. So best of luck with it all, and we'll watch with interest as it goes forward.
Yeah, thanks, Barry. It's going to be a very exciting few months and years ahead of us.
Yep, absolutely. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Barry. Bye.